Today, the New York Times reported that Saddam Hussein's son, Qusay, withdrew close to $1 billion in cash from the Iraqi Central Bank just before the start of the bombing. Joining us now to explain why the Iraqi government may have had so much American cash on hand and how the U.S. government may try to track the spending of it is Jonathan Weiner. He's a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for International Law Enforcement under the Clinton administration, currently an attorney at Alston & Byrd in Washington, D.C. Thanks very much for joining us.
Happy to be with you again, Neil.
And if you all are listening in your car, your work, at your home, or even at your ATM machine wondering how long you have to stand in front of it to take out $1 billion, give us a call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. Jonathan Weiner, what happened? How did they take out this much money?
Well, it's pretty easy. If you own the country, and Saddam Hussein and his boys pretty much owned the country for the past couple of decades, you go to the bank and you say, please give me all of it in appropriately sized and non-sequentially numbered bills. The difference between that and the bank robbery is it's their money as far as they're concerned.
It reminds us to the extent to which the government of Iraq in some ways reflected the organization of the mafia.
Well, they were all alter egos for Saddam Hussein and his family, which is to say the central bank pretty much did what Saddam Hussein wanted. The central bank told the other banks in the country to do what it wanted, and most of the revenues came from oil, and this is consistent with how they've handled things for many years.
How come they had so much in American dollars?
Well, everybody does. I mean, we're the world's currency. You got American dollars sloshing around Russia and Kazakhstan and Thailand and Turkey and pretty much everywhere. It's not hard to get dollars if you're not an American.
So if, just to project, if Kim Jong-il were to go down to his central bank, he could take out his money in dollars too?
Oh, absolutely. Though the North Koreans like to counterfeit it. It's less expensive.
Okay. We're told that this much cash, and admittedly there were $100 million in euros too. We don't want to, abuse the new European currency.
Well, that hasn't been around as long, so he might not have been able to get as much quickly.
But it filled something like 3 trailer trucks. How do you disappear with that much money?
As quickly as you can. You go west to Syria, across the border before the Americans are in control of the territory. You move those trucks across the border at a time when there's nobody else guarding it. You have officials who you've paid off, who you give small amounts to help you get it in. And then you work out arrangements either to ship it by boat from one of Lebanon's ports, or else through Lebanese banks, which are well hooked into the banks of the rest of the world from Geneva to London to New York.
So this could vanish very quickly.
Absolutely, within a day or two.
We're talking with Jonathan Weiner about the unusual bank withdrawal in Baghdad just before the start of the bombing in the war several weeks ago, as Qusay Hussein took a note from his father to the Iraqi Central Bank and said, give us $1 billion and we're leaving. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Jonathan Weiner, give us some ideas about the process of tracking this money down.
Well, the best way to track down money is at placement, which is to say at the moment that money goes into the formal financial system. Because most people don't want a lot of U.S. cash. They really prefer to get it into a bank eventually. So you've got to find a bank to get it into. Let's assume that that was in Lebanon. Now, if it happened in Lebanon, all you really need is a snitch somewhere in Beirut to help you. And you might find the CIA might find that snitch by listening into somebody's conversations. Some person in Iraq or Syria or Lebanon might get caught in some other problem and get squeezed a bit. In return for giving up information might not have as much of a problem.
Might people be offering a finder's fee?
You might have finder's fees. And then the United States has got this fabulous power under the Patriot Act of telling any bank anywhere in the world, we know you handled the bad guy's money, and we know in this case you handled $1 billion of Saddam Hussein's money. We're going to simply take $1 billion of your money. Wherever we can find it, anywhere in the world, you'll have to make it up otherwise, or you can help us recover it from Saddam. Hmm. Your choice. We don't care.
Who's in charge of tracking this? Is it the Defense Department, which was obviously in Iraq and still is? Is it the Justice Department?
Well, the Defense Department is in control of the Iraqi theater, is responsible for security. These are securities, not security, and they're the Treasury Department is the lead agency. And they've been tracking Saddam's money for some time, just as they've been tracking terrorist money. In fact, it's all sanctioned, subject to U.N. sanctions anyway. Justice will work if there's an indictment or something, but basically this is Treasury's lead being backed by our intelligence agencies, whether they're on the CIA side or the defense side.
Can you track it electronically once it's in that bank?
You can, if you have insight as to an import-export company, suppose you had NPR import-export company of Cyprus, and all of a sudden that was moving lots of money. A tip gave you that that was Saddam Hussein's money.
Now you've blown our cover.
Yeah, you see, right there at that point, Neil, at that exact moment, all of a sudden you've got somebody you can squeeze, and you can then start tracing the money. Once it's in the electronic payment system, you can trace it if you've got the clues. The key is having the clues.
Is this enough money that if you're looking around in the the transactions as you monitor these all the time, is this going to show up like a snake swallowing a large animal?
Not if I'm good at what I'm doing as a money launderer. No. I'm going to break it up at the very beginning. I'm going to move it into a bunch of different banks. I'm going to slowly move the currency in. I may ship some to Jordan. I've got relationships between my Lebanese and Jordanian institutions. I may keep some of it aside and just slowly start moving it into the electronic payment system. No, I don't think it's going to be a large animal inside of a snake. Mm-hmm. They're too smart for that. I would be very surprised by that.
We have a question from Bill in Burlingame, California.
Hi. You know, the Marines found like $656 million in metal caskets and sealed-up cottages. Are we talking about a portion of this money, or is that different money?
I personally think it's different money because they've been smuggling $2-4 billion, maybe more dollars, something like that, a year at least, as a result of smuggled oil, mostly, and smuggled cigarettes outside the Oil for Food program. And my guess is that bricking all that stuff up and so on, that was bricked in a long time ago. Now, I don't know for sure, but if I had to bet, if I wouldn't bet $1 billion, I'd bet that those are two separate sums of money.
And that was the other son, Uday, right?
Yeah, Uday had the deals with smuggling cigarettes and oil through Turkey for a long time, and that was amounting to something like $1 billion a year.
Okay, Bill, thanks very much.
Thank you.
As you're looking at this amount of money in cash, now before it gets into this bank and goes into electronic money, is there any way to trace that cash? Is all of the changes in the 20s and $100 bills, is this going to enable you to track it?
Well, we could have done it. There have been a couple of proposals floating around Congress for the past 10 or 20 years. First thought was when you move money outside the United States, give it a different color, or otherwise code it so you can begin to trace movements of money from one region to another. Just like we have regional Federal Reserve banks and some notes have A's on them and some B's and some C's and so on, you could have different colors or other different characteristics for U.S. Currency circulating overseas. Treasury never wanted to do that. The other idea, more recent, but you could do it, is a universal barcode system where every time currency went through a financial institution, it had to be marked as it moved through that financial institution. Haven't done that either.
Wouldn't this cost a lot of money?
No. Once you systematize any marking system, it costs a lot of money to barcode your packages
breakfast cereal,
whatever you're buying, your package of falafel or cheese or meat at the grocery store. It goes without saying, it's not expensive. We can do it for groceries. We can certainly do it for $100 bills.
Email from Steve Tuttle, who just lets us know informationally, $1 billion in $100 bills weighs 20,400 pounds. There's a piece of information. Jonathan Weiner, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Jonathan Weiner is the former Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for International Law Enforcement under the Clinton administration, now an attorney with Alston & Byrd here in Washington, D.C. Here are some of the headlines today at NPR News. A former State Department counterterrorism chief has been named the top U.S. civil administrator for Iraq. NPR's Michelle Kellerman will report on the appointment of Paul Bremer, and White House Budget Chief Mitch Daniels has resigned. He says he wants to run for governor of Indiana. NPR's Brian Naylor will have that report, both those stories, later today on NPR's All Things Considered. I'm Neil Conan in Washington, and this is NPR News.